morning, 740, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Do be aware that we've got a storm coming. You know, the hurricane is going to hit Louisiana, but we are right smack in the middle of the expected outer band. So we are expecting rain, wind, storm surge, and a good possibility of tornadoes on the dirty side of this thing from about 8 p.m. tonight until about 4 a.m. I talked to Eric Gilmore at the Escambia County Public Safety, and that's kind of what he confirmed, is that time frame is the one that they're the most concerned about, because we're likely to get into the gap between the main storm and the bands after 4. At least that's the hope. D.C. Reeves, Mayor Pensacola, joins us now, as he does every Wednesday. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. I want to make sure we start with this because I want to make sure we don't forget to get it. The downtown Pensacola reimagined, the revamp, the cobblestoney looking brick streets and changes of the, you know, where the parking is and all of that. Public input on that is coming to an end, right?
Right. Yeah. End of next week. And so you just go, we try to keep it simple with URLs, the new palafox.com. You got a submission form there, what you like, what you don't like. All of the documents are there of conceptual design. Remember, we're at 0% design at this point, just concepts. And we want to hear from you. Yeah, and I said at a press conference, you know, I've heard everything from don't take away one parking space, which, good news, we're the net parking is going to be somewhere from -3 to maybe even now plus parking spaces. So that's not an issue. And then I've got some people say shut the whole street down 24 hours a day, which we're also not going to do. But everywhere in between. And so we want that feedback. We're going to be giving it directly to our designers, to our engineers. And we're looking at, different options. So, it's a $5 million investment. One other misperception I do want to explain is that someone says, well, why don't you spend it somewhere else? $3 million of these dollars are from FPL for this project. If you go drive down Palafox right now, it's all cut up with utilities and everything. That needs to be replaced regardless. That's how we got here, is we're trying to be opportunistic with those dollars to compound them and do something even better than just come back and repave the road. So this is not in replace of affordable housing. It's not in replace of some other project that someone might think is a higher priority to them. These are dollars, like many in the budget, that are earmarked for specific things that have to be spent in specific areas. It's not just $5 billion of funny money that you can just spend on any project you ever would want to spend it on. So, I just want to take the opportunity to clarify that as well.
And did I also see, and forgive me if I've got this wrong, but that the first maybe block, half block south of Garden, all of the parking there is... the idea is to eliminate all the parking and push out the sidewalks and the walking area so that it's just two lanes of traffic and that's it in that area. Seems like business owners in that area would not. Okay.
That's a conceptual proposal right now. To understand, up to this point, it's been free parking. It's kind of interesting. On one hand, we're worried about customers, and then we also get emails that say that the employees who are parking in those customer parking spaces are upset that those are going to be gone. So we don't know who's parking in those, that it's definitely customers. However, we're looking at other options. Do we keep a couple of them and go to 15-minute, 30-minute parking? Hey, pick up your coffee, pick up your watch, whatever you want to do, and get those spaces turning, which, as you know, me and you've talked about many times, and this whole issue is the goal, is to be having more transactions to create more availability. So we're looking at all that. Again, it's conceptual at this point, 0% design, and we're going to rely on our citizens and our experts to give us some feedback on what makes the most sense.
Okay, I'm going to give you a ridiculous suggestion because of the way it's going to work with what we're already, but you'll understand where I'm coming from. It sounds to me like you need to have the red brick zone is for no loading or unloading. The white brick zone is for loading and unloading only. like you need almost an airport type announcer for where. And you could use different colors to teach people what they can and can't do in parts of Palafox. I'm mostly kidding, but you get, that's what it made me think of, is that kind of a thing.
As long as you'll do the voiceover.
Gladly. I will certainly do that. There's so many things I want to talk about with you. One is, the TDC did a vote yesterday where they scheduled the meeting at the same time as the agenda, or Monday, where they scheduled the vote at the same time as the agenda review for the city council. Casey couldn't be at the TDC, and Taniade had to leave early. The city barely had the opportunity to get input on what turned out to be a vote in favor of what I'm calling the $60 million gymnasium to nowhere because of the location. Right. Nobody's opposed to the thing. It's the location. And this got sprung on us with no real details, and we had to ask for the 150-page study, which when you read it, it indicates some very concerning things. I mean, a bunch of city money, TD, you know, money that benefits tourism is going to get thrown into this and get obligated into this. And it seems like the structure doesn't even allow the city people to participate. A lot of concerns, but I wanted to ask you your thoughts.
Yeah. So first, let's talk philosophical, because this has been a conversation in our office really in recent weeks, is the fact that two city council members are on the TDC, in my opinion, well, not opinion, I think it's a fact, has been left over from the previous form of government. First of all, because remember, to make any changes of who those board members are and what the makeup is takes legislative action, right? Okay. That's not something that the chair just decides is who gets to represent on TDC. And by the way, let me be perfectly clear. This is a indictment of the effort that Casey and Kenyatta, part-time employees
right.
that have to also do board, also do CRA, also do TDC. I think
right.
they do an admirable job. However, just let's use the USS United States as an example. That decision, and I'm a supporter of that, by the way, but that decision greatly impacts city operations. The port, for example,
is
that,
right.
you know, we're going to play a pretty big role in that if that happens, and we're happy to. But that being said, we have no one in day-to-day operations that has any voice on the board as it sits today. You know, and so again, pre-2010, that made sense, right? I mean, the council did operate the city, right? They had a city manager, and said, hey, here's what I'm hearing at TDC, go do this. It doesn't work that way anymore. And so I think, personally, having nothing to do just with that specific vote, but just I think that the administration and the operation of the city should have a larger voice and influence, and maybe we propose things that, you know, from an operational standpoint of how we use bed tax dollars,
yeah.
because they feel a little fleeting from a city perspective. I'm not saying that they don't get invested in the city or that I'm not questioning previous decisions. I'm just saying what's the seat at the table for the operations of the city? It, as it pertains to the TDC. So that's something we're going to be looking at this fall and we're discussing with our legislators. That's something
okay.
that we need to take a look at. You know, as far as, you know, that building, you know, it is a little discouraging to have that meeting right in the middle of a something that we had already scheduled. And, you know, I'm not going to speak for how it would have voted, but it could have affected the outcome of that vote, I believe. And, you know, look, for me personally, you know, I'm an old sports writer, Andrew, you know, I'm
yeah.
a sports guy. I do believe in the philosophy of economic impact as it pertains to getting events and tournaments here. I'm all for that. But if I'm just talking about the city of Pensacola, putting something out at 10 Mile Road, and then that means all those teams are going to be staying either out there or they're going to stay at the beach. So we'll be the city of Pensacola will be a 4-lane road between those two things. But I'm not sure what the major economic impact of the city of Pensacola would be for a facility that would be out there.
It doesn't seem to satisfy any of the need for a convention space. Whereas if it were downtown, it could double duty. You know, you could have a lot of collateral benefit for, you know, when time is used for this, when time is used. So I haven't covered it extensively
exactly.
on the show after the meeting, but I figured you would have thoughts and I kind of wanted to get, you know, your input on that. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, and again, we're just going to totally run out of time before we get there, but the Escambia Children's Trust issue. I found this frustrating because the vote that I thought we were making was for children's educational outcomes. And with the clawback of the money for the CRA, even though I know a lot of that money is going to go to the city, it seems like, you know, sidewalks and streetlights and parks are great, but that's not why we voted for that tax. And it's now been turned basically into a property tax increase.
Yeah, well, again, when we looked at this, and you've heard me say this on a variety of issues, is I say I'm always tired. I'm doing this job because I really do care very much about this community. And if I didn't, this would not be a very fun job. And I'm tired of always saying in a variety of issues, well, sorry, that's not our job.
And I have appreciated that you make that a point. Is it's not what I'm obligated to do. It's what can I do?
Right. And so, look, I mean, I think any scenario where you say, hey, here's some found CRA money. Could I come up with 10 infrastructure projects to do? Absolutely. Can I come up with a million ways to spend? We'll never have enough infrastructure money ever.
Right.
We'll never have it enough to fix everything that we have to fix and keep up everything we have to keep up. And we'll never have enough for education. So in my mind, I look at this as here's an opportunity to partner with the school district. And for the first time, I don't know, maybe ever, I don't know, in a long, long time, I'd have to go back into history. The city of Pensacola actually has a dog in the fight to say, what we aren't going to stand for is our children who are struggling to get educated, struggling to get to school. Here's this opportunity to partner with the school district, with the Children's Trust, and use these dollars that are not earmarked for anything else right now and say, how do we help O.J. Sims and Global and Home Elementary Workmen? We don't get this opportunity often. And so could I build parks and sidewalks and be that be validated as something that helps children? Absolutely. I'm not saying that that isn't a tactic that is valid, but I will say at the end of the day, what we want is positive educational outcomes. And that has such a reverberating impact on our economic development. If we want businesses to move here, our schools have to perform,
right.
Period.
Agreed.
I mean, it is an economic development metric.
Same for military, right. Yep.
You know, we need to participate in that. We have to participate in that. And so that's the way I see it is, how do we lift up the schools that need it the most within the city limits? And here's an opportunity for us to have a dog in the fight and to say, this is how we want these dollars spent. And we'll monitor those and see if those are providing outcomes for us.
And if in the end, this clawback money winds up getting spent basically at schools for benefit to the kids, I'll be happy with that outcome. I just, you know, I worry that that's not going to be the outcome. And I also worry about taking money away for a different purpose. But, you know, we'll see how it turns out. So I'm open to that possibility. And I hope that is the case. We always like to end with a couple of quick round fun questions, a lightning round for the mayor. First question for you is, do you own now or have you ever owned or worn a fanny pack?
Ooh, you know, we made some perfect plain fanny packs back in the day, so I do have one, but only for costume usage only, not for everyday usage like you, Andrew.
That sounds a bit like, yeah, but I didn't inhale. I'll just be honest. That's what it sounds like to me.
fair enough.
Do you know how to score bowling?
Yes, actually, I do. You know, not that it means good at it. I don't know what that says about me. Maybe too many, you know, too many buckets of beer and quarter of the land.
I'm kind of on this.
Yes, I do now.
Kind of on this though. Do you score baseball games when you watch them, or do you just watch them?
When I was covering games, I did.
Okay,
it kind of keeps your attention.
That's right.
When I was a journalist. Now I you know, hang out and don't pay close attention.
And finally, when you open a can of, for example, like pineapple, okay, or soup, yeah, or, you know, tomato paste, or whatever the case may be, do you do anything to clean the lid? Do you blow it off? Do you rub it off? Do you run it underwater? Do you just, you know, go bare?
I hate when you, this is probably like the fourth or fifth one of these things that just makes me feel unsanitary when you ask me. I just have never thought about, to be honest. So I guess that's my answer. No, but I'm starting today. I'm making a change in my life, I think.
You trust the distribution center. All right, I appreciate that. Mayor D.C. Reeves.
Not
always,
anymore, Andrew. It's just something I didn't think about. And now you got me thinking about it.
I've given you anxiety about a brand new thing. I love it. Mayor D.C.
Exactly.
Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. We look forward to the meeting tomorrow night. And we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.